Hi, I'm Dan Tortora. We're here on the line with Lawrence Moten, Syracuse University alum, played with the Orange and had a phenomenal career with Syracuse, moved on to play in the NBA, and is here with us now. And first and foremost, for the first time ever, I can proudly say this. Welcome to the show, Lawrence.
Glad to be here, Dan, and it's also an honor, and I'd like to say hello to all Cuse Nation and all the Cuse fans all over the world, because we have a lot of them.
Well, keeping with those fans, let's start there. You've been getting yourself into different areas here to try and reach out to fans, and one of the events going on Saturday, June 15th in New York City at Stout is one of your appearances that you'll be making right by Madison Square Garden. And just go into why you decided to have this event and have it in New York City.
Well, basically, you know, New York City and the state of New York is like a second home of mine. You know, my wife's from New York City, Queens, New York, and I've been blessed to, I met my wife in college at Syracuse, so I have a lot of New York ties there. I have a lot of great friends in New York, and pretty much this is my way of telling all and showing all my friends and fans that, you know, I appreciate everything they've done for me, and this is my way of also saying thank you back. So this is won't be the first time, and it's just something that, you know, I'm doing from this point on, going to different states and different places and just showing and meeting and greeting and showing people how much, you know, that I appreciate the Syracuse University. I appreciate Cuse Nation. And like I'm saying, just thank the fans for everything they've done for me, and this is my way of saying thank you back.
What are you hoping to accomplish in doing an event like you're having at New York City? What are you hoping to get out of it?
Well, you know, like I said, you know, it's pretty much just showing people how much, you know, I appreciated them, you know, letting them know that, you know, we are all family, you know, and it's also a good time to see some of my past friends who I haven't seen in some 15 some odd years. You know, as you know, I haven't been back to Syracuse. Well, I haven't actually been at the university as a student with almost like 20 years now. So, like I said, it's my way of seeing people I haven't seen in some time, and I know a lot of people wondering what I was doing and where I've been, and, you know, like I said, you know, I've been blessed. I've been married for 16 years. I have two beautiful girls, Laurencia and Leilani. I played professionally 11 years, you know, my 3 years in NBA, but 8 overseas from Spain, Venezuela, Puerto Rico, Italy, Greece, you know, Puerto Rico, you know. So like I said, I've been a world traveler, but I can honestly say God has been good to me, and I'm just enjoying life and understanding that, you know, you have to keep it moving, and like I said, this is my way of saying thank you to the fans.
When you have this time that, like you said, you've been out of the public eye, or at least in connection to Syracuse, have been rather quiet after you had your professional career. What was it about, you know, having that time where you were quiet and you were out of the spotlight? Was it, you know, with raising your children? Was it just having family time? What were you doing while you were out of the spotlight that was preparing you to get back here?
Yeah, just mainly, you know, raising my family and, you know, taking care of my whole family, you know, as far as my mother, my grandmother, father, and just understanding, you know, that life goes on. You know, I've been a teacher for the past couple of years. You know, I teach physical education in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area. I also teach second and third grade, so I'm very big on the youth. I've always been doing camps, you know, ever since I left Syracuse, basketball clinics and little things like that. But, you know, I've always been a, you know, low-key type of guy, you know, who, you know, I love the spotlight, but at the same time, you know, understands that, you know, I don't like all the hoopla as far as, you know, being one of those type of guys who wants the light always on them. I let my game do the talking. I was always like that. And, you know, just time, you know, to be at peace and live my life, you know, with peace and to the fullest, and I've been doing that. You know, and just taking it one day at a time, you know, that's what I've been doing. And like I said, I'm definitely back, you know, within the loop as far as I know a lot of people want to know what I've been doing. Just understand that I've been living life and enjoying it.
and in that enjoyment, just go into, you know, before we start talking about your playing days, go into what it's meant for you to be able to have that time with your children, because a lot of athletes, with all of their travel, with everything going on, and then even after their career, don't have that time with their kids, with their parents, with their grandparents. What has it meant to you to be able to continue to be a family man?
Oh, it's been very important to me. You know, one of the goals in my life is to be able to raise my family and my daughters the right way. You know, I have two beautiful girls. You know, like I said, Lorenza and Leilani, they're 12 and 13, 6'2 and 5'10. You know, they sing, they dance, they model. You know, they also play basketball. So, you know, it's in their blood. You know, I'm also like Bundini with them. You know, I tell them all the time, you know, it's in your blood if you really want to do it. And whatever they want to do, I'm here for them. You know, you just have to understand in life, you know, I had a great career at Syracuse, and I had a solid, you know, okay, you're in the NBA, but overall, professionally, I felt like I had a very good career. So I thank the man for giving me that ability, and now it's my way of showing my family and my kids that, you know, life goes on, and it's not about me anymore. It's about raising them and making sure they, you know, that they are well, and they respect people and expect it in return. You know, that's one of the main things I teach, you know, my youth. You know, I tell them all the time, they just learn one word, and that's called respect. It will take them so far in order to how to deal with people and how to understand life and just being able to be a good person. Because at the end of the day, you know, no matter how much money you have or all the accolades you have, at the end of the day, all you have is your character and what type of person you are.
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree with you more there, Lawrence. Lawrence Moulton, once again, here with me. I'm Dan Satora, and having the opportunity to speak with you about that, about not just being a good player, but being a good person. When you look back on your time with Jim Boeheim, how much was he involved in helping you to not only be a good player, but to be a good person? How much do you attribute to Jim Boeheim?
Well, I attribute, you know, some to Boeheim for sure, but mainly, you know, to my mother, you know, who I just lost about a year ago, and she was a very strong focal point in my life, you know, who had me understand, you know, that no matter what, you know, it's just how you treat people. You know, if you treat people well, good things will happen to you, and at the same time, you know, have respect and earn it back in return. But, you know, Coach Boeheim was definitely, you know, had a part to do with that, you know, in my life, you know, being a young teenager at the time and growing into be a man, learning how to live on my own. And, you know, I can honestly say with Coach, you know, one of the things I can honestly say that I liked about him was, you know, he let you do what you do best, and he treated you like you were a man. You know, he let you do things, but at the same time, he wanted you to respect people, and he wanted you to do it the right way. You know, and I tell people all the time, you know, when I got to the NBA, it was nothing new to me because I already felt like I was in the NBA being in Syracuse. You know, there were great fans there. I feel like we have some of the great, the best fans in the world, you know, in Syracuse. You know, it's up there, you know, people need to understand it's, we want to win, and you know, and we have great fans, but it's almost like a religion up in Syracuse where, you know, if you do well, people will never forget it. And I've been blessed to have four great years there. You know, ended up being the all-time leading scorer in Big East history, which I don't think anybody ever expected. You know, my high school teammate and college roommate was there, Marvin Graves, you know, who also had a major part of me coming up to Syracuse. You know, so I had some good people around me. And when you have good people around you, you know, always good things will happen.
And speaking on some of those people, you know, when you look at your teammates from your time at Syracuse, who do you stay in touch with? Who truly meant a lot to you, not just when you were a kid growing up, but now looking back on those days, who means a lot to you?
Oh, man, you know, it's funny you say that because me and John Wallace talk at least twice a month. You know, we stay in contact a lot. Of course, I stay in contact with Adrian, you know, Lazarus. You know, Todd Bergen, you know, those are some of the guys that, you know, I kind of like talk to on a regular. But even at the Final Four this year, it was definitely good to see my man J.B. Reif-Snyder. You know, I talked to Luke Jackson for a split second on the phone. you know, and these guys are guys who were in the trenches with me, and we worked together, and we worked to do well and try to help the university be successful, you know. So those guys, are my friends for life. But even I feel really lucky that I have guys that I didn't even play with that I talk to on a regular. Me and Pearl Washington talk a lot. You know, Billy Owens is the godfather of my two daughters. My wife and his wife were roommates in college. So, you know, Derek Coleman's another friend, you know, who I look at like a uncle. So, you know, it's funny how even though I didn't get a chance to play with those guys, you know, we talk, you know, like we're brothers. You know, Stevie Thompson is somebody who I've gotten accustomed to getting close to within the past couple of years. You know, being here in D.C., you know, Sherman Douglas, you know, is a very close friend of mine, and we didn't play together, but being Washingtonians, we're very close. And, of course, you know, I have to have a mentor and somebody I look up to like Dave Bing, who I talk to once in a while, is also an honor, too. So I can honestly say on every level and every era, you know, I have at least one or two guys that I talk to. Roosevelt Bowie is a very good friend of mine. So, you know, it's a lot of the guys. Leo Rountons, I mean, so many guys, even the guys after me, you know. Eric Diemendorf is like my little brother. Dion Waiters is a guy who calls me periodically, you know, because it was funny. I really knew that he was going to have a bright future. You know, it's just so many guys I can't even start naming. I'm close to all the guys, but if it's anybody, one in particular, it would probably be my man John Wallace.
What is it about John? Because John's been on my show numerous times, and John and I talk a lot. You know, I had the opportunity to golf with John and gave him a few laughs because as bad of a golfer as he is, I'm a little bit worse than him, according to him. So.
Yeah, well, you know, me and John did 3 years together, three out of my four, and it was times, you know, all we had to do during game-like situations was look each other in the eyes, and that was our sign to tell each other it was time to turn it up. So, you know, I have fond great memories with John, and like I said, he's a very good person. He's a funny person. You know, he's somebody you would definitely love to be around, and I had nothing but great memories around my man John, always, on and off the court.
And when you look back on your time at Syracuse, and like you brought up, 2,334 points, all-time leading scorer, you look at least 500 points in each of your four seasons. When you look back on that time, what does it mean to you to see those numbers and to know that you achieved such a high total and meant so much to the team that gave you an opportunity?
Oh, it means a lot. You know, it definitely, you know, is an honor. And I take it as an honor because one of the things I can say and I tell my kids and kids that I train to this day is that, you know, what you put in this game is what you're going to get out of it. So it all takes a lot of repetition and a lot of hard work. And I definitely felt I put the time in and I deserve the accolades, you know. Fond memory comes to mind. You know, Syracuse had an orange and we had our orange and blue scrimmage game, and I can remember just asking, I was a freshman, I can remember asking Michael Edwards and Dave Johnson, how much time do you think I was going to get? Because all I wanted to do was play about, you know, 8 to 10 minutes a game. And I told myself, 8 to 10 minutes a game, maybe I can get like 6 or 7 points, you know. So I wasn't even worried. But we had the scrimmage, and I ended up having 38 points. And from that point on, I told myself, I could play with these guys. And I pretty much never look back.
Now looking forward and knowing that you have those relationships with some of the players that you had brought up, I know Adrian Autry is a guy that you mentioned, and also a guy like Mike Hopkins, who you had the opportunity to play on the court with. When you look at both of these guys and the fact that they're Syracuse coaches and Jerry McNamara being a Syracuse coach, what does it say to you about the program that these former players come back and end up being coaches, and two of them being somebody that you know well?
Oh, man, it's a great thing because, you know, I tell people all the time, in order for teams and universities to be successful, it might sound a little crazy, but you have to have people that know the university and been through the trenches. And those guys have been through it. They know what it takes to win, You know, they've actually been on that court, and they've actually been with Coach Boeheim as a player, so they know how he thinks, and he kind of like knows how they think. And as far as the recruiting, you know, it's a different type of style of player that we have up there. And, you know, we all know the style of player that we like and Coach Boeheim likes. So in order to be a successful university, you have to have someone or some guys that actually know the university and been through the trenches, that know what it takes to win. And I tell people all the time, you know, Coach Boeheim is a very good coach. Sometimes, you know, he doesn't get the credit he deserves, and I'm happy that he finally got a chance to win the national title, you know, because he was really getting, you know, a lot of bad press before he won it. But now that he's actually won it, he got more credibility. But he was always been a great coach. You know, he's a great motivator, even though, you know, don't let the look fool you. You might not think it. He's a very good motivator, and he loves to win, and we all love to win. And like I tell people all the time, the train will never stop up at Syracuse. We're going to make sure we get our 20 wins, and we're going to try to get a national championship every year.
When you look at the team right now and who they had just moved forward after the Final Four, Michael Carter-Williams makes the decision to head to the NBA draft. James Sutherland finishes up. Brandon Trish finishes up. What can you say on these three players, and as they move forward into an area that you had yourself playing professionally both in the NBA and overseas, what do you say to these three guys?
Well, one of the things I can say, I'm glad you brought up, you said the NBA, but I'm glad you said overseas after that, because one of the things that, you know, I do want people to understand that's playing the game is you don't have to be in the NBA to get paid. You know, of course we all want to make the NBA, and that's all of the guys' dreams and goals is to play in the NBA. And I really think these guys are going to have a very good shot. You know, everything is all about timing, you know, and it's all about the commitment and the hard work you put into the game. I think Michael will have a solid career. You know, he's a very good player. You know, he's a big point guard, and you can't teach that. And he'll get better, you know, playing with pros who will teach him the right way to play, and I think he'll do well. Trish has had a great 4 years at Syracuse, and it's all about getting on the right team. And I tell even Sutherland, you know, he's a good player, and if he gets on the right team, you know, I think he'll be well, because one of the things you can't teach is a good shooter, and he's a very good shooter. Just has to get on the right team. If Steve Novak can play in the NBA, no doubt in my mind, James Sutherland can play in the NBA.
And that's a good point that you bring up there, with James Sutherland having the ability to take the shot and at the same time improved himself on defense this season. When you look at these three guys, who do you see as truly improving the most from their season prior to this past season where Syracuse made the Final Four? Who stood out to you the most?
Oh, man, that's a good question. You know, I really felt maybe James. You know, of course, we knew that each year Carter Williams was going to get better, you know, because, you know, it all depends on how much time you get, and the more time you get, the more confidence you have. But James really, you know, stepped it up and had a solid senior year. You know, he can put it on the ground. He needs to put it on the ground a little bit more. I think a lot of people don't think he can, but I've seen him do it. He just has to have the confidence in learning that he can do it, you know. But a situation like him, it's all about situations. You know, I envision him. I was telling one of my best friends a couple of days ago, you know, a situation with him, say, like on the Miami Heat, where he doesn't have to do too much but spot up like a Mike Miller. He can do it. He can do it. He can knock it down if LeBron penetrates or Dwayne penetrates and kicks it to him. I really feel like he'll knock it down. So he helped himself an awful lot this year. And from what I've been hearing, he's been doing pretty good in the pre-draft workouts. You know, so all we can do is hope the best for these guys, you know, and hope that they do well. But at the same time, understand that you don't have to play in the NBA to get paid.
I have to ask you this, Lawrence, you know, and going off of that thought, you know, looking at the success that these teams have had for Syracuse, especially recently. As the team moves forward, you spend all your time in the Big East. You know those rivalries, Georgetown, Villanova, St. John's, Pittsburgh, you know, teams like Notre Dame. When Syracuse made the decision to move on to the ACC, what's your reaction as a former player knowing that the Big East, the way that you remember it, is never going to be the same, and Syracuse is now going to be in a different place?
Yeah, it definitely sounded foreign to me, and it wasn't a good feeling at the time, but I also understood that, you know, in life, you know, things move on, and there always will be change, and I feel like we did it economically for the football team, and you know, as far as helping those guys out, you know, and bringing it more. Everything's about money now, Dan, and economically, you know, the situation where I think that's the route they looked at. You know, of course, we're losing the tradition, you know, which, you know, upsets people, and it does upset me a little bit. But at the same time, like I said, you know, change could also be good sometimes. You know, we are losing the rivalries of Syracuse and Georgetown, you know, Syracuse and UConn and Syracuse and St. John's, those type of deep rivalries that we had. But just look at the brighter side. Can you imagine Syracuse and Duke in the Dome? Can you imagine Syracuse and North Carolina now at Chapel Hill, or Syracuse Duke in Cameron Stadium? So, I mean, of course, you know, it's not good as far as the tradition, but at the same time, you know, I guess as a whole, it's going to help all teams. You know, you have great, as you can see, we had the Duke and Syracuse and lacrosse. Yeah, they're going to be playing each other a lot. You know, the North Carolina women's soccer team is very good, and we have a soccer team. So as a whole, I think it's going to help the sports. As far as the ACC, Notre Dame now playing Syracuse, even though they were in the Big East, but now they're in the ACC, and we're still going to be playing those guys. You know, the rivalries will be missed. And I tell people at the same time, we are in the ACC, but I don't see why we can't still schedule a game with Georgetown.
And that point is well taken with Syracuse scheduling games for the at least near future with Villanova and St. John's. And upon hearing that, you know, as far as being an alum and going off of what you just said, I can imagine that you were happy to hear that some of them will at least continue in the near future.
For sure, definitely. You know, I mean, we are a great university, and we have great sports teams there, and it's no question about it. The ACC got an A-plus and a bonus by choosing our school to come to the ACC. So it was a plus for them, for sure.
Looking back on your career, what was a plus for you? When you look back on your moments at Syracuse, what was that one moment that maybe stands out above all the rest?
Oh, man, I had so many great moments there. You know, one that pops off my head right now is I can honestly say, I guess the first game I actually started, you know, and it was the ACC Big East Challenge against Florida State down at the Omni in Atlanta. And Florida State had Sam Cassell and Bob Sir and Doug Edwards and Rodney Dobard. And I can remember Coach Boeheim would always put the names of the starters on the board. Who would be starting and who they would be checking. And I saw my name as the starter because I think Michael Edwards, or it might have been Adrian, had came down with an ankle injury, so he couldn't play or he couldn't start that game. So Coach decided to start me, and I remember like it was yesterday. I remember Coach giving us about 5-10 minute break to just go into your own moment. So I left the locker room, and the first thing I was looking for was a payphone. So I'm under the tunnel in the Omni looking for a payphone, and I found one. And I called my mother. And I told my mother, I remember it like it was yesterday, I said, "Ma, I'm starting." And she screamed, and she screamed so loud. I mean, I had to, like, take the phone away from my ear, and she screamed so loud, and her words were, "Don't give it back." And all I can say after that is the rest is history. I never gave that starting position back, and I became the all-time leading scorer in the history of the game.
How do you give that back to Mom with everything that she taught you and everything that she's been to you, coming full circle from what we were talking about a little bit earlier here, Lawrence, knowing that your mom has since passed on and is now watching over you? How do you give back from what your mom taught you?
Well, like I said, the only way I can give back is to be the person that she wanted me to be, and that's respecting people and expecting it in return. You know, raising my family the right way, loving my daughters like she did. You know, and understanding that in life nothing stops. And there's no doubt in my mind, she's with me every day. She's with me every day, every breath I take, and every time I think about something or situation, she's with me and making those decisions. There's no doubt in my mind. And hey, you know, they're going to retire my jersey this year, and you know, that's also a blessing within itself. And you know, like I said, you know, the Moten name will be in the dome forever, and they can never take that away.
When can we expect that moment for you to see your jersey finally raised up on the rafters?
Well, I haven't actually been told a day, but I do know it's coming, and when that day comes, you know, it'll be one of the happiest days of my life, you know, and just not for myself, but just for my family and mainly my mother, and having her understand, you know, that it took a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication. And my mother's favorite words were, "God is good." And after that, when that day comes, you know, it's definitely going to be a blessing.
Well, it's definitely been a blessing to be able to talk to you, Lawrence. I remember, like I said before, growing up and watching you play and respecting you, and you wearing number 21, which has been my favorite number my entire life because of my birthday on October 21st. So somebody that was always close in my mind and someone who always seemed to play the game the right way, it's great to have you back in the public eye, and it's great to talk with you, and you talk about dreams coming true, and my opportunity to talk with you today has been truly a dream come true, and I can't thank you enough for that.
And you're very welcome, Dan, and like I said, anytime, you know, I have no problem with you calling me, and this won't be my last time, you know, on the Syracuse Nation, talking to the Syracuse Nation, and any questions you might have, you know, to ask me, I'm open arms and answering them the way I know, and that's the honest way and straight out of my mouth with the truth. I don't know any other way. I want to tell it like it is.